Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the oil report from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, August 25th. Construction about to begin on Permian Highway Natural Gas Pipeline by Mella McEwen. Stakes have been placed in the ground, pipes stacked in yards, and construction is set to begin on the Permian Highway Pipeline. The $2 billion partnership between Kinder Morgan, Midland's Eagle Claw Mine Stream, and Apache Corps will be comprised of 430 miles of 42-inch pipeline carrying up to 2.1 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas from the Waha Hub in Pecos County to the Gulf Coast, where it can access other markets, including Mexico. Completion is expected in the fourth quarter of 2020. Alan Foer, Vice President, Public Affairs for Kinder Morgan, said the project has been divided into five pieces so construction can begin in areas where the land acquisition has been completed and permits received while completing that process elsewhere along the route. The closest contractor in the Permian Basin will be based in Crane, Foer said. Sitting in the company's Midland offices at Claydesta Center, Foer said part of the value of the project is the additional takeaway capacity for the associated natural gas being produced alongside crude. That additional capacity will reduce the need for flaring by capturing that gas and sending it through the pipeline for sale elsewhere in Texas, other states, or Mexico, he said. Foer estimated the new pipeline will directly generate about 2,500 local construction and 18 full-time jobs, and the new facilities that are part of the Permian Highway Project will generate approximately $42 million in increased annual revenue to state and local taxing authorities. The route will send the pipeline through at least three different terrains, and Foer said the company works to accommodate those changes in designing the route and the construction of the pipeline. For example, the Hill Country has a karst system that isn't seen elsewhere in Texas, and the company is working with a local karst expert to locate subsurface features that may influence groundwater and developing a response and mitigation plan for construction activities in that area. Kinder Morgan's other major natural gas pipeline project, the Gulf Coast Express, is nearing completion, and when the Permian Highway Project is completed late next year, will have combined takeaway capacity of more than 4 billion cubic feet per day. Though Kinder Morgan operates approximately 26,000 miles of natural gas, carbon dioxide, crude, and refined products within Texas, the project has drawn opposition for its route through the Texas Hill Country, especially from residents in Hays, Gillespie, Blanco, and Caldwell counties. Encountering opposition is not new to the company. He cited the company's strong relationship with landowners and efforts to arrive at mutually satisfactory resolutions on value judgments. Even though several pipelines run through the Hill Country, Foer said pipeline construction is not as familiar to those residents as elsewhere in the state. He said he has spent much of his time in those counties talking to landowners and local elected officials about the project, how it will be constructed, and its importance in terms of the economy and energy supplies. What I find in talking with landowners, with elected officials, and helping them understand how this one pipeline will operate, how deep we'll dig the trenches, how we plan to reclaim the land, helping a landowner understand how that one piece of pipe on his property fits into not only the project, but into the U.S. and global energy picture, is important, Foer said. He said that effort at transparency and being available to residents, landowners, and elected officials affected by such big projects is important. When we build these projects, we can no longer say it's going to go from point A to point B. We need to say why the project is important. What is its purpose? He said. The Permian Highway is designed to provide takeaway capacity for natural gas, which is an important resource that's valuable and shouldn't be wasted, he said. Natural gas is becoming essential to any energy portfolio, becoming more prevalent in power generation, Ford said. For example, he said Mexico has been working to upgrade its infrastructure and converting the nation's power generation to natural gas, which could mean cleaner air not only for Mexico, but the southern U.S. Air doesn't stop at the border, he said, and the development of an infrastructure to export liquefied natural gas to developing countries could not only give them increased access to energy supplies, but help them reduce their own carbon emissions, he said. Industry watchers study results of Concho's Dominator project by Mella McEwen. One of the largest multi-well drilling pads in the Delaware Basin has been closely watched by oil and gas operators and analysts alike. Last month, Concho Resources told investors during its second quarter earnings call that performance from the 23-well Dominator project were less than hoped for, indicating the well spacing was too tight. The results were not what they expected, but innovation drives the industry, Tyler Krolichik, technical advisor with Enverus, said in a phone interview. He said the Dominator project, which tested the Upper Wolfcamp, raised multiple questions, including what were the cost savings, what was the infrastructure build-out, and what were the logistics behind the project. What efficiencies did they gain? How much faster were they able to drill? From February to April, they were able to turn those wells on, he said. That's pretty darn fast. While the results may have been less than expected, Concho said all 23 wells, with an average lateral length of 4,400 feet, were drilled, completed, and put on production safely and ahead of schedule. The company also said the project accelerated its understanding across its life cycle, from logistics to lateral placement, well spacing, and facilities design. And this information already is being incorporated into its activities in the second half of the year and in future Delaware Basin projects, Krolichik said. There are two things Concho was trying to look at, he said. One was how many wells would fit in the Upper Wolfcamp. They tested the upper boundaries for sure. The caveat is well cost. If they can scale accordingly, they have inherent cost savings. What is that? I don't know, but I imagine it was to the tune of 20%. He pondered whether operators would be willing to produce 10% less in exchange for a 20% or more cost savings and increased efficiency gains. The full extent of Concho's project may not be known until early next year, he said. You can't predict estimated ultimate recovery or a project's economics until 6 or 7 months out, he said. You don't know until you try something. The results take 6 months to a year, and you adjust accordingly. While Concho tested 23 wells per section, Krolichik said other operators were more comfortable with 8 to 10 wells per section. Still, he said Concho picked the right area for such an aggressive project. If you're going to do something like this, it was in the right area to do more aggressive spacing, he said. Lee County is the most tightly spaced county in the Upper Wolfcamp. Concho's peers are already drilling deeper and downspacing in that area. It is one of the most prolific areas. 10 of the 12 highest initial potentials in Lee County are in that general area. There is a tug of war between operators wanting to develop their assets and investors who are demanding free cash flow and returns on their investments. That is something investors can misconstrue, said Krolichik. Because operators have to spend money to fully develop their assets for optimal production, thus lowering well costs and generating more cash flow. Mesa Natural Gas Solutions looks to power customers outside oil and gas. Goal is to reduce emissions and flaring and Provide Electricity by Mella McEwen. Technology continues to flow into the Permian Basin to help operators snuff out the flares lighting the horizon and put that natural gas to use. 5 years ago, a group of military veterans founded Mesa Natural Gas Solutions with backing from T. Boone Pickens to manufacture natural gas generators. The Casper, Wyoming-based company now serves most of the nation's major producing basins. With Permian producers having little ability to send their natural gas anywhere but up in smoke, the company offers a way to put that gas to work. We're able to take that flared gas and turn it into electricity, so it's a win-win for everybody, said Colby Friday, a native of the Permian Basin and vice president, business development for the company. We have generators that can run on that associated gas, and we can produce electricity for pumping units or disposal wells. The company has field offices in Midland, Pecos, and Carlsbad, New Mexico, with 60 employees who work with such major Permian producers as Apache, Concho Resources, Devon, and Occidental. The majority of the company's rental generators are at work in the Permian Basin. When the company was founded 5 years ago, we saw a need to do something with generators, said Scott Gromer, president and chief executive officer. He said the concept drew support from BP Energy Partners, a spin-off investment fund from Pickens BP Capital, and Pickens sat on the board of directors. The company has doubled in size almost every year since 2014. Both men proudly pointed out that the company has received recognition for its hiring and treatment of veterans, including the Department of Defense's Freedom Award in 2017 and the Department of Labor Hire Vets Medallion Program in 2018. Friday said that while a lot of the company's projects are microgrids, Mesa also has the ability to power extremely large projects and is looking to build projects outside the oil and gas sector, from backup power and demand response to municipalities. Our main goal is reducing emissions, reducing flaring, and giving that resource back in the form of electricity, he said. There are a lot of issues surrounding flaring, said Gromer, but it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. This is energy. It's taking that stranded gas that would be flared and giving it value by converting it into, for example, electricity or compressed natural gas, he said. Because there could be more electricity generated by these microgrids than the operator can use, Gromer said there are ways to aggregate those grids to provide energy elsewhere. Friday agreed. We're seeing big producers team up with partners in ways that they can all consume the electricity that's generated. The company hosts lunch and learn programs at the Permian Club for local business, said Friday. He stressed that these programs are less about selling Mesa's generators than about educating businesses that it is a tool available to address their flaring needs.
Government. City budget to increase 13.26%. Public hearing to take place during today's City Council meeting. The Midland City Council will have a public hearing on its 2019-20 budget during its meeting today. The proposed general fund budget shows an increase from $128.1 million to $144.1 million, according to city documents, a change of 13.26%. The general fund part of the total budget is supported by property taxes, sales taxes, and fees. The public hearing will take place before votes on the budget and tax rate, which is proposed at 37.5639 cents per $100 valuation, a 7.5% increase compared to the effective rate. In a notice about the public hearing, the city reports that this budget will raise more total property taxes than last year's budget by $5.604 million, or 10.52%. A presentation during the council budget workshop earlier this summer showed the following budget highlights involving personnel. New staff positions, including 10 firefighters, a health inspector, animal services officer, customer service representative, utility plant operator and driver and labor supervisor. Police and fire step raises, 4% increase totaling $1.65 million in new spending. Additional firefighter incentive pay and an increase in police officer base pay, incentive, and certification pay. 4% cost of living adjustment for city employees, $1.2 million in new spending. Increase to entry and mid-level positions from the results of a salary survey, $1.17 million in new spending. $10 million for street capital improvements and $2.1 million for street maintenance. Combined with the $25 million voter-approved bond project spending, there is $37.1 million in road spending. The fund balance at the end of the 2019 fiscal year is reported to be $52 million. Council to vote on airport projects. The federal government will pick up around 90% of the cost of three airport projects that the Midland City Council could award today. In front of the council are projects related to a passenger boarding bridge replacement and baggage handling systems that will cost around $5.818 million. The city, however, reports that the Federal Aviation Administration will pick up 90% of the cost, meaning the city will be on the hook for at least $550,326. The city will use the airport operating fund to pay for the city's share. On Monday, Director of Airports Justin Ruff said there was $24 million in the airport operating fund. Ruff again stated that the airport operating fund and passenger facility fund, which has around $8 million, are funded by those using the airport and do not receive any revenue from the city's general fund, which includes revenue from property and sales taxes. She said airport funds will pay for the $11 million parking improvements that will take place and include the building of two new parking lots and replacing its parking operating system. City documents show the passenger boarding bridges, the connector which extends the terminal building to an airplane at Midland International, were installed when the terminal building was built in 1998. They have reached the end of their useful life and needed to be replaced, Ruff stated in the document. The cost of this project is $3.345 million. The council will also have a chance to approve $1.497 million for the outbound baggage handling system replacement project. The project includes replacing the conveyor belts that carry the luggage from the ticket counters to the baggage makeup area. There is also an item that approaches an additional $975,393 for the two projects and will help cover construction phase costs. The FAA has or is expected to cover 90% of all funds with this item as well, although $315,000 is marked as contingency and will be covered by the 90/10 split if used. Council to consider Parks Wi-Fi project. The Midland City Council will vote on a $525,000 project that funds wireless communications at city parks for general community use. The initial parks selected for the project, according to the city, are Reyes Mashburn Nelms Park, Beale Park, and Hogan Park. The city stated in an agenda document that these parks were chosen because of their multifunctional spaces and larger general attraction to the community. By Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@mrt.com.
MISD approves formal ranchland purchase sales agreement. Five board members present unanimously approved the $9.5 million purchase by Brandy Addison, brandi.addison@hurstnp.com. Five Midland ISD school board members, including Brian Murray, who voted against the purchase in June, unanimously approved the $9.5 million land purchase and sale agreement with Ranchland Golf Partners, LLC, during Monday's special meeting in the Central Administration Office. Trustees John Kennedy and John Trishitti were both absent. Intended to be used as a future school site, the 116.89 acres located in Northeast Midland at Ranchland Hills Golf Course is already developed with complete utilities and infrastructure. Additionally, district officials have said the property is large enough to fulfill the minimum site size for a secondary school, and not every property that is currently up for sale is not that viable. During the June board meeting, Board President Rick Davis said the minimum site size is a little fewer than 90 acres. However, the additional 26 acres would allow for the comprehensive high school to include gymnasiums, practice facilities, and fine arts rooms on campus, taking away the need for transportation from one campus to another, as it does currently. Murray wrote in an email to the Reporter-Telegram that he originally voted no in June because he was against the economics of this purchase and preferred further negotiations. While my stance on the value has not changed, my fellow board members outvoted me 6-1, Murray wrote. I want the board to move forward as a unified team, as we have no called for the bond election to add much-needed seats for the current and future growth of our student population. The time is now for us to come together and make this effort a priority. MISD Chief Operations Officer James Riggin told the Reporter-Telegram the difference between the meeting in June and Monday's meeting incorporated the legal aspects of the purchase. The contract in June was a contract in scope, and today was a formalized document that spelled out all the legal terms of that agreement. It was for the same sales amount, same terms, same lease buyback. It was just the legalities of it, and putting the contract scope approved in June into a legalized formal document to move forward to a title company. Riggin told the board Monday that the contract states that sellers have agreed to pay for a Phase 1 environmental survey for the property through Highlander LLC. Additionally, surveys will not be required if there are no concerns during Phase 1. The district will lease the golf course back to Ranchland Golf Partners for $1 per year through November 1, 2020. We will take possession on November 2, 2020, Riggin said. However, at that time, if we feel we need to continue to lease the property, the buyer, at buyer's option, may extend the lease annually by a written notice. This option is entirely at the buyer, MISD's, option to continue the lease. Though the expenditure of land has already been budgeted for, future building renovation and remodeling costs have not been, district officials have previously told the Reporter-Telegram.
Hello, this is Paul reading from the front page of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, August 29, 2019. Government. City to make changes to water billing process. The City of Midland is looking to become more efficient with the way it handles the estimated 45,000 water sewer customers. City officials want to get away from people coming down to City Hall to pay their bills, and they want more assurances that those signing up for service will pay their bills. A new customer service and utility billing software may help accomplish both. The council received an update Tuesday before its regular meeting about changes to the city code because of implementation of the software. Specifically, council members were briefed on additions to code, deletions from code, and additional enhancements. The following were some of the additions to code. The city will no longer set up any account without a valid planning division assigned address. Additional communications options include text, email, and IVR phone system. A collection agency has been added as a method of collecting past due bills. A utility account can be set up or terminated online. Bill deposit on first bill is $75 for residential deposits. Priorities have been established for partial payments, deposit, miscellaneous charges, garbage, drainage, sewer, and water. Amount of $5 or less for billed or credit will be disregarded. City will not prorate first and final bills. City will start daily billing. City will offer $1 off the monthly bill if a customer chooses to do paperless billing. City will send out separate notices by customer-designated method for late fee notice 5 days after due date and termination notices for shutting off service 10 days after due date by mail and customer-designated method. City leaders were also briefed on an internal credit check system. The city said all customers will start with a level A rating, 0 points. As certain credit events occur, the customer will receive points toward their credit rating. When customers have 99 or more points, level D, the city will request an additional deposit. For residential customers, that is $75, according to the city. $150 gives us a little more security, said Finance Director Pam Simeka, who added that habitually bad customers are less than 10% of overall customers. Possible credit events, according to the city, include late fees charged, 5 points, final warning notice, 20 points, insufficient check, 25 points, disconnect service, 50 points, tampering with water meter, 200 points, sent to debt collector, 200 points, and write-off balance, 200 points. All events remain on a customer's record for 365 days, except the last three events, which remain for 4 years. Deletions from the code include eliminating all requirements for liens and moving fee amounts from city code to fee ordinance. Also, because no more liens could also delete requirements regarding declaring rental property, the city will collect only from the tenant and not make property owners responsible. Additional enhancements include AMI hourly readings will be available online to customers whose meters have been changed, 15,073. The AMI system will allow staff and customers to see a possible leak earlier, according to the city. Other enhancements include allowing customers to request service orders online and allowing sanitation to directly bill open-top customers on the utility bill. Lastly, shifting to payments software will allow the customers additional ways to pay their bills, including by text, email, online, auto payment, phone, e-checks, and credit card. Currently, less than 10% of customers are using auto payment, city officials said. The new software is expected to help maintain staffing levels even as the number of customers grow, city staff said. The city could go live with its new system as early as November 4th. By Stuart Doreen, S. Doreen at MRT.com. Law enforcement. MPD announces maximum enforcement period. Officers will have zero tolerance for traffic violations that could lead to crashes. The Midland Police Department will work a maximum enforcement period beginning today and continuing through Thursday. The enforcement project is taking place in order to reduce the number of crashes in Midland, according to a press release on the department's Facebook page. During the maximum enforcement period, MPD will have a zero tolerance for traffic violations that are a major contribution to the crashes that occur in Midland. Speeding, running red lights and stop signs, and DWI, according to the city. Traffic crashes are the number one call for service, and we are on par to hit 5,000 crashes for 2019. The Midland Traffic Engineering Department has put together two maps that contain hot spots, indicating where a high volume of crashes occurs, the release states. The maps are crash data that occurred from June to August and are separated into day and night occurrences. These hot spots will be the targeted areas during the maximum enforcement period. The daytime map hot spots are up and down Andrews Highway, the area around Rankin Highway and Interstate 20, the downtown area on Big Spring Street, Midland Drive and Loop 250, Midkiff Road and Loop 250. The nighttime hotspots are the area around Rankin Highway and Interstate 20, the downtown area on Big Spring Street, Midland Drive and Loop 250, State Highway 191 and Loop 250, Thomason Drive and Loop 250. This maximum enforcement period is an effort to educate the public on the number of crashes MPD is responding to and the causes of these crashes, according to the release. Visit online. Maps may be viewed on City's Facebook page.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget, you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.